Dan Celian.
I want to be a nation that is on the biblical principles and the values and the ethics that are found in Scripture.
Your personal economy.
Financial issues that you need to know.
Aligning reality with truth.
But I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celian.
Welcome back, Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. It's great to be here. 844-707-5533. By the way, Fox News reported on a New York Times op-ed this morning, and they are indicating that in three models, political models, President Trump wins the election on all three of those. Now, Mark Zandi, I got to tell you, I never thought there would be a day where I would mention Mark Zandi's name. There's a lot of reasons for it. But very liberal, to say the least, very left-leaning. Said he checked 12 models, and in 12 models of political analytics, I don't even know what political analytics are, but in all 12 of those models, Trump came out ahead. Now, understand there's 22 candidates out there for the presidency for the nomination on the Democratic side, so it's going to be hard to tell what's going to happen there. But nonetheless, very, very interesting. This is an op-ed coming out of the New York Times, which makes things a little bit more interesting since it's coming out of the New York Times to see something like that. So we'll see how it ends up. We do have an ag report coming up here this morning. Craig Haugart, as you know, back in the saddle again here, and he will be giving us his ag report. So looking forward to that. So stay tuned. You know, it's interesting. Yesterday I was up driving up through Lancaster, my wife and I, and it was a great time to be up that way because there wasn't a lot of traffic and we were driving all around. We did all our Memorial Day activities on Sunday. So yesterday we were up there driving around and I was saying, I never saw so much wheat planted. So a lot of wheat being planted, very little corn. You know, I saw the usual kind of patches, I call it, of tobacco, because the Amish grow a fair amount of tobacco. Certainly not one of the largest crops, but they grow some tobacco, and so I saw the tobacco, but. Man, I mean, there were some areas that were set aside for corn, obviously got planted late, but most of it was wheat. I was amazed by that. So I'm interested. Now, we know corn prices have been getting clobbered for a while now. So it's interesting to see that. On the commodity front, speaking of commodities, oil, because I know Craig's not going to talk about this, oil is up about 2/3 of 1% right now. We're at 59.01 for West Texas. And it looks like Brent crude oil just dropped below 70. It's 69.99 right now. It's down about 1/8 of 1%. So that's where we are. Nat gas is down about 1.5%. Nat gas has been on a pretty good move upward for the last couple of weeks. All the precious metals are down. As a matter of fact, all the metals are down, oddly enough, with the exception of copper. Copper is still in positive territory. I'm not sure why that is, but copper is in positive territory. It is odd because we don't see any good news in China right now as far as their economy, the biggest user of China. Well, it looks like the U.S. Supreme Court could be getting a little bit of a litmus test on Roe versus Wade, and it looks like the justices will be talking. We might know something as early as Thursday whether they are going to consider recent legislative process on the 1973 ruling of Roe versus Wade. And we'll see, they are taking a look at some Indiana law that was put into place. And it's going to be interesting to see if they do take the case or not. That might give us some indication of how the Supreme Court is going to be leaning, because all of these cases, Alabama for certain, will be probably taken to the Supreme Court to be asked for. I want to talk to Kelly Shackelford about the landmark decision that we could be getting here soon on the cross, the memorial, World War I memorial, if they're going to Bladensburg cross and what the ruling's going to be. And we should be hearing on that real soon as well. All right, here comes Craig Haggard with our Ag Report. And we're going to be right back after Craig. We'll get back to phones, 844-707-5533. Here's Craig. We'll be back. Or not.
This is Craig Haggard with your Financial Issues Ag Update. Planting delays are on center stage. The weather forecasters aren't backing off on their wet extended outlook, but at the same time warn that there could be an abrupt halt and possibly an extended dry pattern. What we do know for a fact is that the ground is saturated with two-thirds of the corn belt with excess moisture and more rain in the forecast. When the planting progress numbers are released this afternoon, the expectation is that it's going to show between 66 and 68% of the corn crop planted. Now, in 1995, we had 67% of the crop planted at this point in the year, and the yield that year ended up being 9.3% below trendline yield. A repeat of that this year would give us 160 bushel per acre yield this year. And the bottom line is that it appears that the market has still not put enough price premium or risk premium into this market to account for the price level if we were to come in with 160 bushel per acre yield. As I record this, the overnight spot corn futures are trading another 6 cents higher as traders continue to be spooked by the weather forecast and the planting delays. Soybeans closed firmer on Friday, although they lagged the corn market. Planting problems are really a double-edged sword for soybeans. The increased potential acreage, of course, is bearish to prices, but then the decreased potential yield would be slightly bullish to prices, so it's having a hard time kind of sorting out how hard this one wants to run. Trump's comments late Thursday shifted the Chinese trade war pendulum slightly back towards a favorable outcome in the short term. And as a result, the overnight trade spot soybean futures are up pretty good, trading 13 cents higher as I record this. Wheat futures had a strong finish heading into the Memorial Day weekend. It's a combination of concerns with the U.S. crop quality with the excess rains, as well as a warm, dry forecast for Russia that combined to push the wheat market higher. That's continuing in the overnight as we have Chicago up 9 as I record this, while Kansas City is trading a dime higher and Minneapolis is up 7 cents. Now, cotton ended the Friday on a higher note as well, with July futures up 91 points as July cotton settled at $68.39 per hundredweight. Friday we had the cattle on feed report, and that caught trade by surprise. Cattle on feed came in at 102.3%, which was close to the trade estimate of 102.9%. But the big surprise was in placements, which were estimated to be 113% of last year, but came in sharply below estimates at 108.7%. Now, for the day, August live cattle were 20 cents lower, while August feeder cattle were 20 cents higher at the closing bell. It'll be interesting today to see the impact of that cattle on feed report and how the trade reacts to it once that market reopens. July lean hogs had a real tough session on Friday as they closed down the $3 per hundredweight limit. Class 3 milk futures lost a little bit of ground as well, with the June futures down 13 points to settle at 16.31. But in the overnight trade, we have spot futures trading 4 points higher as I record this. In the cash markets, choice beef boxes were 85 cents higher as they closed at 221.64, while selects were $1.94 higher, selling out at 208.47. In hogs, the pork carcass values closed 65 cents higher as they settled at $83.
The opening statement in the Constitution of the United States says this, that we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. I don't know what part of that we don't get anymore. That was written by men who cared about this country deeply.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia.
/55/33 We want to get to your calls. 844-707-5533. Okay, let's see. I'm just trying to get a handle on where the markets are right now. Let's just take a look. I haven't looked at them all day. Everything is a positive territory. Listen, we got a lot of ground to make up, particularly on the S&P. The S&P is down almost 4% on the month of May, just in the month of May alone. The odds of us making that up before the end of the month are probably slim to none. Not going to happen. We'd have to have an unbelievable run, not expecting anything like that. We should start to see volume pick up here today and through the rest of the week. We'll start to see a little bit of heavier volume, and that is good. But we are in the summer season. Things slow down. You know, years and years ago, back when I had a trust company, when I was in this business, there were a couple things I loved about the business. One was it was very slow at the times you want to be slow. So, it, you know, Christmas from really the end of November till the middle of January was very slow, and all of summer was slow. So it was great because that's kind of when you want to be slow. And that is still true today, and we see markets will be slower. We see volume begin to drop a little bit, conviction begin to drop a little bit. We see less geopolitical events because politicians don't need to any excuse to slow things down a little bit. And they're not around. They're nowhere to be found. So, you know, everything slows down a little bit. But nonetheless, we would need a pretty good few days. But everything is up about a quarter of 1% right now. So, like I said, we'd have a long way to go. Anything is possible. We have seen some pretty major movement, some significant movement in markets before. By the way, it looks like we could have the number three automaker if Fiat and, I'm drawing a blank. Who's the other automaker? Oh, well, it'll come to me. Fiat and other French automaker, if they combine, they are talking about their Fiat Chrysler, yes, talking about coming together. If that happens, then they would be Fiat Chrysler with whoever the other company is. They come together, they'd be the third largest auto company in the world, and they'd be saving billions of dollars. Auto manufacturers need to reinvent themselves. Who was the first one to do this? Does anybody remember? It was Ford. And Ford Motor, over a year and a half ago, saw this coming. This is why I wish that Ford were able to be on our list. They're not, and I'm working. I'm trying to do everything I can to get them back on the list. But, you know, they're so ahead of the curve on their thinking and their analytics. So they decided to streamline. They're saving billions of dollars over a 10-year period, hundreds of billions of dollars. That's going to be good for them and other companies following suit on trying to streamline and combine some of their technologies and workforces to make it more efficient, more effective for them to work together. And so hopefully we'll continue to see that happen. So that is interesting. Right now, markets are up, as I said, about a quarter of 1% throughout all of the indices. We see European markets look like they're on track to finish in positive territory. Asia up in positive territory. Euro has been back and forth. Looks like they are. They're being driven right now by banks, by Italy. Look, Italy, I've been talking about this for a long time. It's got some problems, major, major issues of concern that I talked about a year and a half ago when nobody else was. Now everybody is. The banking sector throughout the Eurozone is a problem. It's one of the reasons yet we are at an impasse already on getting and keeping some kind of euro Euro trade talk on track. That is crazy. It's ridiculous. We need to be working on it. But here's the problem. And this is the problem that I talked about that has become more a problem than ever. We cannot be a one-trick pony. We can't be able to just juggle one ball at a time. We have spent so much time, all our concerted efforts on negotiating with China that we forgot about North America. We forgot about South America. We're forgetting about the rest of the Pacific Rim. We're forgetting about the Eurozone, very important trading partners that we need to be working with, and we're unable to do that. And it's a huge problem. It's going to continue to be. And now we get around to trying to enter into some negotiation with the Eurozone, and we're unable to do it. And the Eurozone ought to be the easiest thing that we are able to do, with the exception of maybe Brazil and some of the other South American, Central America countries. And we're not doing it. And this is, I find all of that a much bigger problem than just China alone. We've got to get working on these other issues, and we're not doing it. 844-707-5533. Let me go to calls and go to Matt. Matt's calling us from North Carolina. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Dan. Appreciate your ministry. I just got a couple of quick questions for you regarding your Timothy plan model.
Yes.
I've noticed it has changed on the website, and there's a couple of new allocations on there. In my age group, the 35 age group?
Yes.
Would it be recommended that I should go ahead and exchange some of them funds and get it lined up with what you have on your model, or should I just kind of stick with the old allocation model?
No, I don't want you to stick to the old allocation model. I want those two ETFs included some way, shape, or form. The problem that you have, do you make ongoing contributions, Matt?
Yeah, every month I do $50.
Great. So what I would like you to do, here's the problem. You can't do it through Timothy. I know they're Timothy funds, but they are brokerage firm funds. They're ETFs, those other two firms funds. So Timothy can't do that. They're not a brokerage company. They're a mutual fund company. So they're not even though that's their own funds, they still can't do it. So in order for you to fill that out properly, you would have to go to, an E-Trade or, you know, some other brokerage account in order to fulfill that. So I don't want to say that, hey, there's a sense of urgency, you know, to drop what you're doing and get that done. But I do want you to at least keep it in the back of your mind and start working towards that, adding those other two funds.
Okay. All right. I know you don't know what I have there, but should I just keep that and then open another account and just strictly do the ETFs through that other account?
Correct. But include them both in your overall, you know, asset allocation model. So you're counting both of them as one model.
Okay. And while I have you, I've got, my employer has a 401k that I used to contribute to, and I kind of had it, I kind of stopped contributing because I found out through Timothy that they contribute to like abortion and other things that I don't agree with. So I stopped contributing to that. Would you recommend moving that, or I mean, I don't know exactly where to go from there.
I would recommend you moving it over into your Timothy allocation, but they might not let you move it, Matt. Okay. That's the problem. And I don't know. Yeah. You'd have to ask human resources. A lot of times they won't let you touch that until you either leave employment or you're 59 and a half. So you might be stuck leaving it there.
Right. And I had called you before about it. This has been probably a year or two ago. And they, you suggested that I, you know, since they did a match, that I would just, do the minimum to get advantage of the match. But unfortunately, even the even the minimum was like going to, what am I trying to say? It was even going to
a non-biblically responsible fund?
Yeah. was like through Wells Fargo or something. That.
They don't have a money. They didn't have like a government bond fund or something. I know that's probably what I told you to see if they had a short-term government bond fund that you could contribute to.
Yeah, and Timothy said that even all those were kind of not lining up, so I just quit it altogether. But
Yeah, I don't know what they offer, but I'd like to see what they, if it's a government, a U.S. government bond fund, then I would consider that biblically responsible.
But, okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. All right. I understand. All right. Thank
All right.
you, sir.
Thanks, Matt.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye. I appreciate it. And what I did say to Matt, and I really do, Matt, if you're still listening, man, I appreciate your heart. You know, that's what we need, more young people that want to be sold out, committed for this. I mean, that's exactly what has got to happen. It's great to hear you stick to that, be strong in that way. That's great. Let me go to Larry in Texas. Hey, Larry.
Good morning, Dan. I just, this is Larry S. Williams in Alice, Texas. I appreciate all your service and your ministry, Dan, and everyone working with AFR and for many years, and I'm a big supporter. And thank you in prayers and all the financial advice you've given for all of us. I just want to let you know that reminds you of what you've been doing, a terrific job, and God bless you for your work and your ministry.
Well, thank you, Larry, for that. That is an encouragement to me. I sure do appreciate you taking a little time to encourage me that way. And I sure appreciate you saying that. Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely, so much. I'm presently right now out of the market. I got just a little money in. It's basically, basically to your program that I've learned. I've got it basically in just a cash equivalent account.
Right.
And I'm waiting, and I'm fixing to get online here shortly and redirect. I'm 68 years old, but trying to go to work, really, Dan. I'm still want to get some help.
Good.
Not
good.
Many health issues, but.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. Renault is the other car manufacturer, French automaker, Renault, Fiat, Chrysler, talking about a possible merger that would save the company. They're saying hundreds of billions of dollars, which obviously it will, from manufacturing expenses and duplicity, getting rid of so much of that. And it would be, a good thing for that auto sector. So we'll see if that happens. I don't see any reason why it wouldn't. I don't believe that there would be any issue, I don't think, from any kind of antitrust rules here in America. But maybe in other parts. 844-707-5533. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Tom. Tom's calling us from Virginia. Hey, Tom. Tom? All right, we don't have Tom. All right, let me go to Patty. Patty calling us from Indiana. Hey, Patty.
Hi.
Good morning.
Hey, Good morning. I just became a new partner this weekend, and I spent lots of hours on the website, and just want to say I'm really grateful for how practical it is, how it takes all the academic rigor out of the decision process and lets me focus on what is best for me and my family.
That's great.
So I don't know if people realize I've tried to learn these things through an online college, and it is very complex. So I hope people realize the depth of your knowledge and what the gift is that you're giving to us. So
thank you, Patty.
I'm not You're welcome. I'm on the cusp of two asset allocations due to my age. Uh-huh. I'm 64 years old. My husband is also 64. So we have all of our funds, our retirement funds, at a brokerage firm that doesn't offer Timothy funds, and we had been really disappointed with the target date funds and the hidden fees that they have and what happened this past December. And so we're making a move to change, and so right now I have everything sitting in a federal money market fund at that organization, and I want to move it over to where I can access some Timothy funds, and so I think that it's smart for us to open a trust, and I'm not sure would I open the trust first, move everything into the trust, and then open the accounts at the new brokerage firm?
Yes.
How does that work?
Yes, so you would have your trust open first. You would, you know, a trust is more just a paper document. So it would be a living trust. You would establish that living trust. Then you would open up the new brokerage account in the name of the trust, which is basically you and your husband's name, trustee of the, you know, your name of your trust and date of the trust. And so it would be in the trust account. It would be because either way, you would have to do that with an account. So if you have an account already opened, you would have to open another account, and then you would transfer whatever's in that into the other accounts, the trust account. So either way, you're going to have to go through that process, and it would make better sense to do that now. Not hold off and do it once you set up the new brokerage account.
Yeah, okay. So then what about sitting on the cusp of two asset allocations? What would you advise there?
So let me ask you, Patty, when you think of the monies that you have invested and are going to be invested, what are your plans for that? Are you thinking, well, in 2 or 3 years we're going to be retired, or we are retired now, we're going to start using some of that for income? What's your situation with that money?
Well, I'm going to quit here in the next month or so. But my husband, the main breadwinner, will continue for at least another year. And about half of our money is sitting in Roth investment. And so we don't have to take our minimum required distribution yet. So I'm thinking that we'll draw out of the Roth in conjunction with our Social Security monies and leave the tax deferred to a later date. I'm not sure, but I know that my husband will continue working for at least another year or two. And we don't need to access any of those funds until he retires.
So I would probably suggest that you would do both accounts, your Roth and your traditional, in neither one of those portfolio models, but do it in the income portfolio model, which is the last model on the list of pie charts there. It's the one on the bottom. And
you still go by your age then?
No.
Or you're saying there's an income model below everything?
Yeah, there's an income model below everything that is for people that are going to be dependent upon, not dependent upon wholly, but using this portfolio to supplement their income. And I would want you to be in a place where you have a portfolio that is generating income, and that you would be actually taking that income, you know, every month, taking that income out that it's generating. That's going to help preserve the principal and give you some income, you know, for that. And I would rather you do that. I think that would be a better model for you to take advantage of.
Okay. Okay, so if I'm going to go with the income model, am I going to try to, just like you were talking about, how we have some ground to make up from May. So is this a good time to get that trust established and jump right in with both feet on whatever I can on the, from the buy list for the income fund, for the income producing money?
Yeah, I wouldn't be, I wouldn't take any kind of sense of urgency at all. I would, I mean, I want you to get moving. I want you to get that trust set up. If that's what you, why, let me ask you why you're setting up a trust, if you don't mind.
Well, we're up over a half a million. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that it would make it a whole lot easier for, you know, for our kids when we die, and to be able to pass the money, even some of it down to our grandchildren for their education.
Okay, so, I mean, it's not, so it does make it easier to settle the estate, but you're not going to save any, so remember, I'm guessing, I don't know, but the majority of your money may be in this traditional IRA.
No.
No? Okay.
Majority in the Roth.
In the Roth, okay.
Not by much. It's close to a 45, okay. 55.
So I don't know what the rule is on the Roth anymore because it's changed. But a traditional IRA you can't put into trust. So that's going to be separated out. And it may be a Roth too. It may be all qualified money. It used to be, and then they changed it, I thought. Then they might have changed. I think they might have changed it back. So I'm not sure. I don't know that a trust is going to be a lot of benefit other than make it easier to settle it. But that's it. You can't, when you transfer money to your grandchildren in a will or trust, there is a generational skipping tax. You know, that hopefully is going away altogether. But if it doesn't, if Democrats coming back in office, it's going to come back. And if that happens, you're not going to help that situation. So I wouldn't be, now, if estate tax come back into play, then it might help, depending on what they do. But it's going to cost you $2,500 or something to say set up a trust. It may not help you that much.
Okay.
So I would give some thought to that.
Okay.
But well, I think just go start, once you get those accounts open, then just start gradually going in. The income model is a little bit different in the sense that, you know, you need to just kind of get in, create those income vehicles, and get started on it.
Okay. All right. Well, one more comment then. I'm just really glad to see the pendulum swinging on China, because I've never understood why consumers would grumble about losing jobs to China, yet they all shop at Walmart.
Isn't that the truth? You're singing my song on that, Patty, so I agree with you 100%. It's always been, I can't tell you over the years how many calls I've gotten from people. Every time there's an economic downturn, for example, for the last 8 years of the Obama administration, the last 2 years of the Bush administration, anytime there's downturns in the economy, people say, oh, China, all our jobs got moved to China. I mean, I used to get call after call about how angry people were for that. Well, we moved our manufacturing. Now we have an opportunity to fight back, and everybody needs to be supporting this administration.
Yeah, I remember, you know, a couple decades ago, maybe three decades ago, going into Walmart, and there weren't very many of them, but I was in Central Illinois. Olney, Illinois was one of the first.
Yep.
And you would go in, and there'd be this big banner in front, made in the USA.
Yeah, right.
You know, Sam Walton's rolling over.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Welcome back, Financial Issues. I'm Dan Seeley, 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your co-op, you're welcome to do it. 844-707-5533. Let me just see Laura on Facebook. My profits are over 50% on a stock that is on your buy list. Do I take profits now or wait until you take it off your buy list? It's on a very significant upward trend. Laura, listen, I would if you're ready to take profits, take the profits. I wouldn't wait. Take what you know is there. Yes, it could continue to go up. I'm not sure which stock you're talking about. You didn't say, but doesn't matter. You know, if you're up that much, then, I would go ahead and take those profits. You may want to sell out of the position altogether and look at buying back into it at a later date or move on to something else. But yes, I would continue to, I would take those profits now. You know what you have. This could turn on a dime. So again, I think it's better to take what you can see and do it sooner rather than later. Not try to time it. Thanks, Laura. Good question. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Travis. Travis calling us from Virginia. Hey, Travis.
Hey, Dan. How are you doing?
Good.
Hey, I was just wanted to call on the Fidelity piece. I hear a lot of people call into your show, and
yeah,
just from my, I just wanted to share my experience with accessing Timothy funds. What I've had to do is, you know, if your employer like mine doesn't offer Timothy funds, or you don't have access to Timothy funds through the arrangement that they've made with Fidelity, then you need to create a what Fidelity calls their brokerage link, which is a brokerage account within your 401k, and you then just once you've created that, you can move money over into that brokerage account and then just call Fidelity, and then they can set up the Timothy funds within the brokerage link, within your brokerage account.
Right. You know,
and so in it,
but that's kinda, if your 401k is at Fidelity.
That's correct.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. So, anyway, that's, I just hear some folks calling, and it seems
yeah,
like they may not, it needs to, I wish it was a little bit more clear, but that's the best way, you know, in my experience of doing that. So, but once I've gotten it set up, it's been pretty easy just to call up Fidelity and
just
ask
move
them to add some stuff or move some stuff around. Yeah. So, but anyway, and one quick question for
sure,
you, Dan.
Sure.
Does Timothy have a kit for, I know at one point I think I'd seen on their website for churches who are, you know, currently with, is it Guidestone?
Yeah.
And maybe looking for an alternative. Do you know if Timothy has materials? And if not, it's not a problem. I can reach out to them. But
yeah, Timothy has a program for no cost to the church. They will set up. The churches, you know, they will, I don't want to reset up if they're with Guidestone, reestablish their new 403B or 401K with Timothy so they can get away from Guidestone. They will do the administration end of it for the church free of charge. So now, unless they don't do that, which they, as far as I know, they've never told me they've stopped it. But yeah, they will do that for anybody, and regardless of the situation. So whether it's switching from Guidestone or not, they will do that for ministries. So that's something you can look at, and they should be able to send you that information. The I'm trying to think of the name, Robin. If you ask for Robin, if you ever call Timothy and ask for Robin, that's her area, because I've had her on the program talking about that. So I would talk to Robin.
Okay, great. I appreciate it, and thank you for your ministry and all that you do.
Thank you, Travis. I appreciate it. Great stuff. I appreciate you sharing that with everybody. Thank you. And, you know, folks, Travis just pointed out what I've been saying. You know, if your company's with Fidelity already, They can set it up just like Travis was talking about. The problem is we call Fidelity, or we call Human Resources, worse yet, but we call Fidelity and we get somebody that say, oh, I don't know anything about that. And sometimes you got to dig a little bit. You got to ask and you say, well, I know they do it, or is there somebody else there that might do it? And you might get somebody else there that is going to be able to talk about that. So, you know, pursue that and you'll probably get answers and be able to do that. Let me go to Tom from Virginia. Hey, Tom.
Hey, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
I've been a member with you for a long time and just has a question on CS-47. Would you do a little comment on that?
On CS-47?
Yeah.
Good company, solid company, a company that, you know, if I owned, I'd probably be dollar cost averaging into it about now. If I didn't own it, I'd probably wanna buy some of it. It's a small company. It's a micro cap company. So if you can't take volatility, don't buy it at all. But it is going to be very volatile and it pays a great dividend.
Yeah, it had taken quite a drop from when you first had it on the list a couple months ago.
Yeah. Well, it's, like I said, it's a micro cap stock.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what they do. You know, I mean, that is very typical that they take very big swings, both on the downside and the upside. Right. So, you know, that's just...
I've been dollar cost averaging in on it, and I do like their dividend.
Yeah, the dividend's great. And, you know, again, you just got to... And if you're, you know, of course, if you're an income investor, that's not an income stock for me, but it is, you know, nonetheless producing income. But if you're an income, if you're a dividend person and you're looking for income, it's great. I mean, they pay... They're up to about 5.5% right now on their current price. So another good reason to buy. But look, volatility on a short term, on a 1 year, 2 year, three. I mean, it's not even almost not worth talking about. It's going to be that. But micro cap, man, they're all over the place. So it's not going to change.
All right. Now, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Tom.
Have
all right.
Day.
See you. 844-707-5533. We've got another hour left, folks, so now's a good time to queue your call up, and we'll get to it there in the next hour. 844-707-5533. Robin from Kingwood, Texas, is asking about a company that is pursuing a buyout of IN25, and she's asking if that buyout is dead, if that pursuit of that buyout is dead. No, it is not dead. It's on hold, but it's not dead. We'll have to wait and see what happens with that. But it's going through some issues right now. Even if it is dead, there's going to be another suitor coming after IN25 in all likelihood. So not too concerned, but no, I don't think it's dead just yet, Robin. So I would hang in there with it. You know, folks, you hear me talk about Preborn all the time, and Preborn right now still trying to work in New York City, and they need some support for some of the centers in New York City. And if you can support any of these ultrasounds, man, this would be the time to do it. And I hope that you will continue to support that great ministry and pray about it. It is an amazing ministry. And they are looking for people to come alongside them as they fight an unbelievable battle. Seems to be an unwinnable war. I don't believe it's an unwinnable war, and it certainly is a winnable battle. And they are doing a great work in saving lives. And you can, for $140, you can sponsor five ultrasounds for $140. But even if you sponsor one, it would be a blessing. And I hope you'll do that because, you know, these young ladies, 80% of the time, when they see that ultrasound, if they're contemplating an abortion, they're going to change their mind. And we want to support those young ladies. We want to see them come to Christ. We want to see them go through discipleship. And we want to see them keep that baby or work with an adoption center through preborn. So we'd ask you if you would come alongside and be one of those people that are going to be responsible for saving some of those babies. And we pray that you would be a part of that. We sure would appreciate it. You can dial #250, #250. You can dial that number, and the key word is baby when asked, and you can give any amount to help preborn and to save the lives of babies. And we are so excited about what is happening with Financial Issues listeners. And we are going to have a reunion in heaven like you can't imagine. We did a mighty, mighty work, Financial Issues listeners, up through Mother's Day. Just an amazing work. And we're so excited about that. But we want to continue to stay in that fight. Folks, if you've got to leave us, I hope you have a wonderful day. And remember, all that you have is His. Let's be a good and faithful steward. More Financial Issues coming up right after this. Have a great day. God bless.